This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com. Excuse me. And as part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. There you'll find links to all the shows in the network. And I'm sorry, I'm having a coughing fit. I keep putting it on hold when I catch myself. Anyway, if you'd like to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. If you would like to follow me on social media, you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Account name is Derek Howard. That's D-E-R-E-K-C-O-W-A-R-D. Period. All right. Earlier the day of this recording, I was on my Comic Book Noise podcast, and I said that I was going to continue my thoughts on Sci-Fi Noise, and this is Sci-Fi Noise. All right. Now, before I talked about Star Wars, and I think that so far Disney is showing me that they, at the very least, have respect for the property, and that they're not going to screw anything up. That said, first movie hasn't come out yet. All right. But I have faith in them. They're gonna do all right. Now, I have been into a lot of science fiction. Not just, like I said before, not including the comic books. But this past weekend just seemed to be all about science fiction for me. You know. First off, past couple of days, I've been listening to audiobooks, but I've been listening to one series, and that is the series Star Force by B.V. Larson, Brian V. Larson. I hesitate to call it a series because so far, kind of like the books that I'm reading, the Comet Clement books that I'm reading by Kevin George, each story just seems to lead, you know, each book seems to lead into the next one. Okay, so it doesn't seem like a book series as much as just one great big long story. I'm trying to rack my brain. I cannot remember what the name of the first two were because I listened to those last week when I was at work. This past weekend, however, I listened to the third book in the Star Force series, and it was called Rebellion. Really well thought out story from Mr. Larson so far. I'm enjoying myself. It does seem kind of funny how a computer science professor ends up being this pretty much this unbeatable warlord, you know. Every now and then he has, well, I shouldn't say every now and then. Excuse me. There are lots of people who are not him being killed. I mean, this guy is death. He should just wear a black hood and carry a sickle, because everybody around him, with one or two exceptions so far, seems to die. You know, he's the type of commander who will go into a battle with 10,000 troops and come out with 70 guys, you know, but he won. And it's just like, wow. You know, it's stuff like that. It doesn't seem to be like the systematic slaughter of characters that we cared about, like in the Comic Clemens series. But this one just seems to have absolutely no compunction about killing off not even minor, just a bunch of red shirts, you know. I mean, although I do think it's funny that when they decided to color code some of the armor, because, you know, everybody's wearing like some sort of mechanized battle suit, the what was it, blue for the officers, green for non-commissioned officers, and everybody else is red, which, you know, since this guy's obviously a science fiction fan, this had to be a homage of sorts towards the ill-fated crew members of the Starship Enterprise, you know. Anyway, I was listening to book 4, Conquest, most of the day. I'm not sure. I think it's like 9 or 10 books in this series. And I hesitate to say more of the same, because one thing that Larson has been doing is when he's giving you this sense of learning. You know, this particular character learns every step of the way. He learns what works and what doesn't work, and therefore the reader is actually learning what works and what doesn't work. Learning a lot about like battlefield tactics as well. And it's really well thought out. There's some things where if I was writing this story, I know for a fact I would have overlooked, or I wouldn't have thought about it. And he not only thinks about it, but he explains, you know. And not even does he explain, but his character. So if I'm thinking something, say, you know what, maybe that wouldn't work. Not almost immediately, but pretty soon after, he will write something where the character, where something will go wrong, where I thought, well, that might not work. Something doesn't work, and the character figures out why and what happened. And it's just really well written. We're really well thought out. This past weekend, however, I did watch the movie called Edge of Tomorrow, starring Tom Cruise. And once again, this is also pretty much the same type of thing, where we see Tom Cruise's character, who's you know, there's a battle going on between humans and aliens, and Tom Cruise is pretty much I don't know the word to put for it, but he's a mouthpiece, you know. He's this guy who's he even says he's not combat trained. He's an officer. He was in ROTC. When he came out in ROTC, there was a war going on, you know. So that's why he was put in officer. But he's in public relations. And for some odd reason, the general that was in charge of all the forces going for this great big push decided that he wanted to put Tom Cruise's character on the front line, you know, in like this great big invasion push, which I don't know much about battlefield tactics and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't seem to me like having a body with a gun, just to have a body with a gun, is a good idea, you know. Like, if I'm in charge of the forces, you know, of battle forces, I'm not putting me out there. Not because I don't want to fight. It's just I don't know how to fight. I've never held a gun, right? I don't know. One of the funny things is when they had this guy in his mechanized battle armor, sensing a theme here, he couldn't figure out, you know, he was like gonna try to shoot his way out. They were like, "Yeah, you're not gonna do anything with the safety on." And he was like, "How do I take the safety off? How do I take the safety off?" And they put him in the thick of things, and he's still like, "How do I turn this safety off?" But he finally does get it off, and he gets splashed with like alien blood, and killed. But he ends up right back to where he was, right back on the his very first day when he got out there, and the drill. He's not really a drill sergeant. You don't have drill sergeants when you're like out and about. That's only in training. But there was a sergeant there who just, you know, called him, "Maggot, get up here, put this stuff on." And, you know, got really used to that guy because you saw him like every few minutes. And it was sort of what it was supposed to be, you know, Groundhog's Day-esque. All right. Except with very little humor. There was some humor in it. There were parts that were pretty funny. But he ends up finding out that Emily Blunt, who is known as the Full Metal Bitch, because she like single-handedly defeated the enemy at some place in France I've actually heard of too, and I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, she knew what was going on. She knew that he kept coming back, right? And it gets really deep, you know. But because this is a time travel thing, to me, it's not a question of him reliving the day, but to me, it's him going into different alternate universes, so that when he dies, he's dead, but his consciousness goes back to where the story began in an entirely different universe. So every time he like purposely gets himself killed, he's actually just shooting off into the next one. At least that's the way I see it. That's the way I've always seen time travel of that particular ilk. Anyway, Edge of Tomorrow, horrible title. Horrible title. The original title was All You Need Is Kill. You know, like, All You Need Is Love, but All You Need Is Kill. But I guess they wanted to take kill out of the title. So they got rid of it, and they gave it the just horribly generic Edge of Tomorrow. And then when they were doing the DVD release and the video on demand release, they went with, Live, Die, Repeat? Which would have been a much better title. Just either one would have been better than Edge of Tomorrow. This is just a horrible name. I don't know who thought of that name change, but I'll bet any amount of money they wear a suit every day to work. No, a suit and a tie. And they think they know what the hell they think they have their their finger on the pulse of the American public. Anyway, so if you don't like Tom Cruise, then you may like this movie. If you're one of those, sociopathic people who wants to see your favorite celebrity killed over and over, well, your least favorite celebrity killed over and over again, then yeah, you might like this movie, because he gets wrecked. And that's not a spoiler, because let's face it, live, die, repeat, he gets killed in a lot of different ways. Emily Blunt's character was a lot stronger than I thought that they were going to keep her. I thought they were going to make her into Trinity, or the mother from How to Train Your Dragon, where she starts off as an ass kicker and just ends up as a wife and girlfriend. Not this woman. She kicked ass all the way through the movie. All the way up until her very final scene. She was, like I said, a strong character, strong, you know, with a strength of character and of purpose and resolve, and not just physical strength. Really like what they did with that character. Now, I watched another movie that was very similar called Source Code. And this is something I got from Netflix a while ago, and I forgot why I added it in the first place, because I'm not a Jake Gyllenhaal fan at all. And Vera Farmiga, I don't know how to pronounce her name. I've only seen her like maybe a couple of other things, and she didn't really make that much of an impression on me. But Jeffrey Wright is also in this movie, and Jeffrey Wright is so damn cool. I've been a fan of his ever since I saw him in Basquiat, up until this movie, you know. So just, I like him. I like Jeffrey Wright. He's up there with Joe Morton, where if I see these guys in something, even if I don't like the rest of the movie or the television show, I know I'm going to like their performances. And this is about a guy who wakes up on a train, a commuter train, that and he doesn't remember who he is. All he knows is that they're calling him Sean, but his name's not Sean. He's talking to this girl, and he's looking around, and all of a sudden the train blows up and kills him. And he goes, and when he opens up his eyes, he's in a place where he realizes, where he finds out that he's part of a government experiment to have him go back in time to figure out who's trying to blow up this plane, this train, right? And I'll tell you right now, I kind of figured it out within the first few minutes. Okay, there's something that happens. I'm like, okay, that's the guy who did it. Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil it. It was a guy, but come on, this is an American movie. It probably wouldn't be that far out of the reach of possibility for you to realize that he's a guy. You know, there's a guy behind it. Anyway, so sort of like Live, Die, Repeat, there's a lot of seeing this guy die over and over again. However, in between times where he dies on the train, he's also talking to pretty much his government handler, who is Vera Farmiga, and her boss, who's played by Jeffrey Wright. And there's like a lot of things going on, but it's one of those movies where you can watch it over and over again, and because pretty much that's the appeal of the movie, it's rewatchability. Just like Live, Die, Repeat, just like Groundhog Day, which both these movies kind of remind me of. You can rewatch these movies because you know the same thing is going to happen over and over again, right? But in between these times, there's some pretty good moments. That's one thing I wanted to tell you. Star Force, good book, but you know what it reminds me of? Sometime with all the wholesale death and destruction of all these unnamed people, it reminds me of V video game, of a real-time strategy game. Just imagine if a real-time strategy game had a real person, a real character that you were following, and you're following this character. And that's what it reminds me of. And that's kind, and Source Code kind of reminds me of the Assassin's Creed movies, the Assassin's Creed games, where in between you playing in the past, there's like this jump into the future with all this scientific stuff, and it's weird, but that's just kind of what it reminded me of. All right, this weekend, I tried to watch the first episode of Firefly, but I guess I was not in the mood for it because I just did not enjoy it. I was watching it, and I'm just like, I don't care. I just don't care, and I stopped. But since I like Firefly, I know that this is all on me. You know, this is all my, just me being unhappy with my weekend with, my beloved Camille dying. So I'm gonna give it another try. And, I also, while I was looking for something to watch on Netflix, I can't remember, did I watch anything on Netflix? I think on Netflix itself I didn't actually watch anything, but I did decide that I'm going to rewatch or finish Enterprise, Star Trek Enterprise. I actually watched the first part of the first season when it was on UPN. I watched it and I sort of enjoyed it, except for that the theme song. And I forgot what happened, but I stopped watching, so I never watched anything past, I think I definitely may have watched like one or two episodes in the second season, but anything after that, I didn't watch it. So I'm just going to probably do a rewatch of the whole thing. So in the future, if I'm talking too much about Star Trek Enterprise, that's why. Anyway, so there you go. That was my weekend, and that's my plans for the near future. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back soon with another episode.